Hey, everybody. This is an interview that we recorded, and we're not going to put it in the show because it's a terrible interview. I mean, it's genuinely a bad interview. We decided to, after being asked several times to put this person on, it was a different viewpoint than ours, and I don't know that that would have been a huge deal, but there was a lot of reasons why this interview was cut short, and I didn't push this person how I wish I could after listening to it again. I don't think I did a very good job. I don't know that the person would have been able to answer any of the questions that I had set up anyway, because it seemed like they were really hyper-focused on people getting shouted down at universities. And that's just a genuinely uninteresting topic on its face for us. It's been talked to death in our community over and over and over again. And I don't feel like anything is going to be gained by us and some person just rambling on about it, no matter how strongly we feel about it. So that was one of the major reasons why this interview got cut short. The other one is when they mentioned George Soros, I immediately, it's a fault of mine. I immediately went to the conspiracy theories that we cover every single week, of all these people who think that George Soros is some kind of puppet master. And so I immediately was just blown away that this person would, within the first few minutes, use this as a foundation point for their activism. And I probably should have, if I was a better interviewer, I would have given them more rope to hang themselves. But at that point, I really just couldn't. Not only was her sound bad, she was also really focused on her talking points, would not let us drag her away from any of the things that she sort of clearly had prepared ahead of time. It was just genuinely a bad interview all around. I could feel it, and I reacted. I reacted specifically because it was a waste of our time and a waste of her time. And recording time on our show is very valuable. Tom does not have a lot of recording time in his life. He is a very busy man, and we have a very small amount of time in which to create a podcast for our audience. And when that time is wasted, both of us get a little agitated. And I recognize that I may have overreacted at the end of this call, but I could not continue it. It was just something that I could not keep going with. It got to the point of it being absurd, and I had to shut the call down. I don't think it's our best moment. I think it's pretty bad. I think it's genuinely a bad interview. And I also think, I kind of acted like a dick during it. I want to urge people not to go after this person and like make memes or be mean on their page. They have just a different viewpoint than I do. I don't want anybody to be mean to this person. So don't go out of your way to be a jerk. There's really no necessity to do that. They have a very different ideal set than I do. There's literally no way that I'm going to have a conversation with them that's going to be worthwhile. And maybe Tom could, but I almost certainly could not. So I'm sorry for what you're about to hear. It's really genuinely terrible.
Recording live from Gloria Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome, Matt. This is episode 374 of Cognitive Dissonance. Cecil, we are back after a significant recording hiatus, my friend.
Yeah, that was a long time off for a long time there.
A little over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Being in the glory hole.
I know, I was kind of missing the clubhouse a
little. Can you get glory hole withdrawal?
Possibly.
I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know how that works. Like, is there like a delirium tremens version of like... You're just like, I need the glory hole. Like, it's just, that's a little weird. So I'm not saying I'm not having it. I'm just saying it's a little weird.
I get it.
So we are joined this episode by Lauren. Lauren, you are with the Republican Atheists.
Hi. Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on the line.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us. So I guess let's just get right to it. Like, I have questions.
Yeah, I just want to ask the first one. Why?
Yeah.
Why Republican? Why Republican and atheist?
I guess I would follow that up with how.
Well, I've been atheist for over 10 years now. I'm close to 30 years old. And, you know, after I graduated from high school and I was 18 years old, voting age, I was kind of like a lot of youth, I think, kind of disenfranchised with all the political parties. I just registered to vote like about a year ago. And I had vaguely identified with the Libertarian Party for 10 years. And, you know, if people ask me what party are you with, I would just say I kind of lean towards the Libertarians. But during the campaigning period for the 2016 general election, I was just appalled by events that happened. And it started with the Bernie Sanders rally in November of 2015. When two women went up on stage and took over his microphone, this received national coverage.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Probably know mm-hmm. of it. Yeah, yeah. And so I saw this happen, and I was just appalled that this happened. I mean, I wanted to hear what he had to say, and he kind of took a step aside, and he was fine with letting them take over the mic, it seemed. And he actually even supported them to a certain extent. And my thought was, you know, that's your microphone. I mean, you're supposed to speak. And since then, I started taking note of events that happened. And I took note that there were just a number of conservative speakers that were shut down on college campuses across the United States, many in California.
Is that where you're from?
Yeah, I'm actually from California, the Palm Springs area. That's where I'm born and raised. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so yeah, seeing these events unfold, people shutting down speakers on campuses and a lot of hostility towards conservative students and Republican clubs on campuses, I just thought, you know, I'd like to get more involved and to have a voice in opposition to this censorship going on. And so I took a look at the Libertarian Party, closer look at them actually, and didn't really see much going on. And I had already gone to a couple of Republican meetings, and I just felt, you know, the Republicans were more active in bringing up the concern about the censorship happening and the
Let's talk about the censorship thing. Can I interrupt? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to do it probably a lot just so that we have so we keep like one talking point at a time. So censorship is an interesting word. I think censorship is an interesting word. So when I think of censorship, I think of something kind of coming down from a position of authority, right? So, you know, if I'm being censored, by a governmental body. I'm being censored by, you know, some kind of a regulatory body. So I don't see, I don't know that I see censorship. Censorship seems to be the wrong word.
Well, I just sum it up as shutting them down. And there's a video footage of this at Cal State Northridge in Los Angeles when Ben mm-hmm. Shapiro tried to speak there, and he was interviewed by Megyn Kelly back when she was on Fox. And so he explained what happened, that students had actually formed a mob in front of the doors at Cal State Northridge where he was supposed to speak. Students couldn't get in. If they tried to, they were harassed by the students who were blocking the doors. Students pulled fire alarms during his presentation. And, you know, for me, as a person who has had general conservative views for a good part of my life, you know, I said, what if I was a student who wanted to go and hear what he had to say? And I was blocked from going to see or hear what he had to say. I mean, that's in my opinion, I view that as a problem. And so that was something I wanted to address. And so, yeah, I just decided to register Republican. And also on top of that, I was a part of a number of atheist Facebook groups. And, you know, I would share my views about what was going on in the election. And I was just amazed by the amount of hostility I was met with from a number of atheist communities. I was called names many times. I was called a troll. An administrator said I was a problem. And I said, wow, this is an atheist community. You know, I thought maybe we'd have this underlying similarity in atheism, but I ended up getting kicked out of a number of groups. And so I said, I'm going to start Republican Atheist because I just feel we don't have a voice.
Okay. So I'm just going to kind of summarize, like it's difficult then to be a Republican atheist. Like you're having a difficult time sort of being in community. And so you've created this Republican atheist group. Tell me about the Republican Atheist group.
Well, it's a group I started this year in March of 2017. And I said, I'd like to have this organization where we represent atheists who are registered Republican, but we also stand up for the general secular community. And I even reach out to agnostics, and I'll even communicate with different religious groups that are moderates that like to hear out what we say. Because believe it or not, actually, a lot of moderate religious people are interested in what we have to say. And they actually have a level of respect for us from my experience so far. And I launched the group and I started looking for board members. And at this point in time, it's just me and then one other board member his name is Robert Price, Bob Price. You might be familiar with him.
Yeah. So how big is the group? How big is your organization?
Right now it's me and Bob Price.
That's the whole organization?
Well, it's brand new. We're kind of a different group, I would say. And I'm reaching out to people as time goes on. We did have another board member who was glad to be a part of our group, and his name was Brandon Finney. He was a voted-in representative in New Hampshire, but he registered with the Libertarian Party. So,
gotcha.
So he stepped down from his position. And but we've received a lot of support, and I think a lot of people are just a little scared to get involved, I think. I mean, I had one person who reached out to me and I said, you'd be a great board member. And he said, I don't really want to get involved. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are sending in support and things like that and that I connect with. But in terms of, stepping up and being a board member, it's going to take some time, I think, for that.
Now, when we talk about Republicans, very often Republicans, especially the Christian right, sort of steer where the party is going. They are the ones who sort of make a lot of decisions based on where the party's going, how the party handles many of the social issues that we deal with today. How do you feel about your party, the Republicans, being controlled by the religious right? And do you feel like that you feel alienated because of that?
Well, I don't get too involved in the higher up levels of the party. I'm just kind of beginning to dabble in this personally. As I said, for a long time, I wasn't even involved at all in political activity. And so I'm just kind of like dipping my feet in the water right now, trying to communicate, network with people. And I've received different amounts of support from, the just typical registered Republican. But getting involved higher up, it is more of a challenge. But
I'm not talking about getting involved. I'm going to push you on this a little bit. I'm not talking about getting involved. What I'm talking about is how do you square the policies, the actual policies of the Republican Party, specifically the social policies of the Republican Party, which are absolutely, truly controlled. And not even just social policies, climate change. Let's talk about something specific. Climate change. Most of the climate change denial that is going to cause significant damage to the actual globe, is driven by opposition from a Christian majority that steers the Republican Party. As an atheist, I don't understand how to square that. Help me understand how that's either not important enough or how you square that.
Well, it comes down to priorities. We all have our own priorities, and people are registered for Democrat, people are registered Republican, they're registered Libertarian, and you can ask them, what do you support about the party? And more often than not, you'll find that they support maybe a couple things, maybe one thing about the party. They don't support all the things. And that the party represents. And so
it's just not important. Like, I'm not beating you up, but like that issue for you would not be a terribly important issue.
Well, At this point in time, no. And I've actually been involved with environmental activism for a good part of my life. And but I think seeing the events that unfolded this past year, again, with speakers being shut down and students controlling curriculum on campuses, we're just seeing this civil unrest that's happening. And I've seen it for a while now. I mean, I saw it when the Occupy movement started up back in 2011 and 2012, when it spread across the country. And I was attending Humboldt State University up in Northern California at the time.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to push you on that too. I'm just going to. Occupy, yeah, Occupy, the Occupy movement was by and large a peaceful movement. It was annoying for sure if you were in an area that was occupied. But like the idea that these sorts of protests, or the idea that these sorts of movements are new, is just historically inaccurate. During every administration, during every period of time, there have been groups both right and left. I mean, look at the events in Charlottesville. There have been groups in the right and the left who've taken to the streets to protest something. Like it is our fundamental right to assemble.
Well,
right?
Of course, it's people's rights to assemble, but
and if they do it peaceably,
also,
who cares?
It's also people. You know, I mean, I was going to Humboldt State and students pitched up tents on campus. It was a big ordeal in Arcata, California, which was the city it was in. And I personally couldn't really get on board with the Occupy movement when I started talking to the students. And so I find it interesting now to see a lot of these organizations and movements happening when I see parallels with the Occupy movement. And I guess a lot of
people. What parallels? Hold on. No. What parallels?
They're getting together.
Literally, honestly, what parallels between the Occupy movement, which again, there was like almost no violence at all. I mean, and that went on for months and months.
Yeah,
it
was a long time.
Hundreds and hundreds of people. And there was almost no violence. And they assembled and they had grievances. And it's okay that you don't like their grievances. I don't know that I necessarily liked all of their grievances either. That's okay. But like, is that the reason to be Republican? That's weird.
Well, you know, I do a lot of research, and this is something I like to tell people when I communicate with them, is I kind of consider each one of us to be a database of information. You know, you look at what you're interested in, I look at what I'm interested in, and therefore we have our own databases of information. So, yes, there were some parallels between the Occupy movement and today's movement.
What were they? It's just that, what were they?
Well, I view the Occupy movement as kind of the seed for the millennial group. And, you know, the Occupy movement was
peaceful. What do you mean the seed for the millennial group? I don't know what that means.
Well, it started off the protesting atmosphere, I think, for the millennial generation. And
well, I got to stop you. The protesting atmosphere, I don't know what that means either. Every generation, I'm not being shitty, I'm really not, but every single generation has had its young people protest something.
Well, of course it has, but this is coming from my perspective as a person who is, as I mentioned earlier, almost 30 years old. I mean, the Occupy movement, from my perspective, was kind of the first movement that
that you became aware of.
Yeah, I would say that. And then there's also some further background that I find to be interesting as well between connections between Occupy movement and current movements. And this kind of goes
Which movement currently? Like, wait, hold on. Which current movement?
Well, there's an organization called Refuse Fascism that has kind of been involved with these groups, Antifa. And I mean, there's this whole network.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, I don't like generalizations because they don't mean anything. Like, specific, they don't. They just don't. It doesn't do anything for the conversation. I want to understand your position. So there's parallels between Occupy and current movements, but I want to know which current movements. Because clearly, it's not like that. Like, it's not the current movement, like, of the alt-right in Charlottesville. It's a different current movement. We have lots of current movements going on. So which current movements are we talking about?
Well, it is the more left-leaning current movement.
Such as?
Well, you're talking about like Black Lives Matter or something?
Yeah, like which ones? Like name something.
Of groups, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, there's Refuse Fascism.
And how are they connected to Occupy?
There's an outlet called It's Going Down, which has put up a bunch of content calling people to protest. And so based on the research that I've done, Occupy movement primarily really impact or made its way across the nation because it was contacted by a group called Alliance for Global Justice, which is located in Tucson, Arizona. Alliance for Global Justice is noted to have received funding from billionaires like George Soros.
There he is. I knew he was going to make a pair.
I knew it.
George Soros, welcome to the program, George Soros.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Hey, we're done with this. This is the dumbest interview I've ever done in my entire life.
This is
nonsense. Very sorry.
I'm done.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.